Amen. Thanks, guys. That's what we need to do. We need to give our heart and all that we are to Jesus. I'd invite you to take your Bibles, would you, and open them up to Revelation, the book of Revelation, last book of the Bible, in chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 19 through 20. But as you do that, Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 through verse 20, I want to ask you to sing with me. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that I love him. Open my ears, Lord, and help me to listen. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. Could you sing that? Are you going to play it? Do you have it, Judy?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. We're going to sing that. And this is a good way to really ask God to make us prepared for his word today, okay? Would you sing with me? Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch. That I love him. Open my ears, Lord, and help me to listen. Open my eyes. That's our prayer, Lord. Thank you, Judy. It was hot already as I woke up and opened my eyes to the light of the day. I could smell the salt-laden air as I had every other morning that I had awakened in this dark, desolate place. As far as I knew, it was going to be a normal day. Business as usual. Or so I thought. But this day would be anything but normal. You ask my name? Hello. My name is John, the apostle of Jesus Christ, his disciple. It was when Jesus was on this earth that one day he came to the Sea of Galilee. And there I was with my brother and my father, Zebedee, in the boat. And Jesus called to us. And he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And my brother James and I got out of the boat and we followed him. And to say the least, our life was never the same. It was changed totally. We followed Jesus for 3 years. In fact, he chose us to be one of his 12 disciples. And he chose me to be one of his three closest friends. I lived with him. I watched him perform thousands of miracles, thousands of healings. I saw him walk on water. I saw him turn water into wine. I saw him open the eyes of the blind. I saw him cleanse lepers. I even saw him raise people from the dead. It was amazing. In fact, I was one of his inner three disciples. I do not mention that, folks, boastfully. Because, you know, with God, there's no favorites. But there are intimates. How blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee to dwell in thy courts. And I was one of those men. I had the privilege. I was blessed, along with Peter and James, to see things that no one else was privileged to see. I saw when Jesus raised a little girl, Jairus' daughter, 12 years old. He raised her from the dead. I saw when we went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. I saw Jesus transfigured before our eyes. It was so holy that a cloud came and overshadowed us. And I heard the voice of God saying, "This is my son. Listen to him." I was in the Garden of Gethsemane and I heard him pray. It was amazing. I was blessed. I was also, folks, the only disciple that was at the foot of the cross. I heard, he spoke to me as he hung there. He said, "Son, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son." I saw him hang there. I heard him say, "It is finished. Into thy hands I commend my spirit." And then I saw him bow his head and die. Oh, the grief that filled my heart that day. But then, folks, 3 days later, when we were in the upper room with all the doors locked in fear of the Jews, Jesus, that same Jesus that I saw die on the cross, he came in. While the door, he came in and he said, "It is I." And he showed us his hands and his feet. And that sorrow that was in my heart 3 days before was turned to great joy. I saw the resurrected Christ. Oh, folks, you should have been there. You should have been there. It was amazing. And then occasionally the next 40 days I saw him, and then I saw him rise up right before our eyes and ascend into heaven. Oh, this Jesus. Now, you may think I'm telling you all this because I want you to think that I'm somebody. But folks, I'm just your brother. You know, and when you come to know Jesus Christ, we're just brothers and sisters. Amen? Amen? We're the family of God. There's no big shots in the church. I'm just your brother. I'm just your brother. We're on the same team. We're co-companions. Praise God. We're co-companions. We are participants in tribulation. Did you see it there in verse 9? We're co-companions in tribulation. You say, "I'm going through trials now." Guess what? You're not the only one. Amen? We're co-companions in tribulation. We all go through trials. But thank God. You know what I thank God for? That in the body of Christ, we can go through them together. Yes. We can pray. Yes. We can join hands together. Because not only are we co-companions in tribulation, we are co-companions in the kingdom. Absolutely. We're part of something big, folks. You say, small group. But we're part of something big. It's the kingdom of God. It's the church. And this is God's work all over the world. And we are part of that church. And as we go through life, you know what we need? We need patience and perseverance. Amen? Amen. And you know how God works that in us? He lets us go through suffering. He lets us go through trials and tribulation. And the whole time, there's a purpose to make us more patient and to make our character like his son. Well, that's who I am. Amen and amen. Well, you might ask, where are you? I'm on the island of Patmos. Now, I'll tell you what. This island is nothing to write home about. If you're going to go on vacation, I know you'd probably like to go on vacation. Don't come to the island of Patmos. It's a volcanic, mountainous, desolate place. It's about 35 miles off of the mainland, the place you call, I think, Asia Minor. It's about 60 miles from my home, which was Ephesus. And it's about the size of maybe 6 miles wide and 10 miles long. It's a desolate, desolate place. You see, it's dry. It serves as an island of banishment. It's a prison island. You say, John, what's a nice guy like you doing in a place like this? Well, I'm glad you asked. You see, I was sent here. I was by the authorities under Emperor Domitian. They banished me to this island. They've cut me off from all Christian fellowship, from my friends, from the church, exiled me here so that I would not be able to continue my ministry. They've even taken away all my parchments, all my scripture. You say, John, what terrible crime did you commit to get sent there? Well, my crime, folks, is that I would not compromise my position in Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, folks, I was sent here for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus. You say, John, how unfair. How unfair that is. How could they do something like that? How could God allow anything like that to happen to you, John? You're an old man. You've been serving Jesus faithfully now for over 60 years. How could God allow something like that to come into your life? You know what? I know it's hard for you living in the 21st century to understand this. Because you know what? You've been fed some lies. There's people that say, accept Jesus and it's going to go well with you. Accept Jesus and you will have health and wealth. But you know what? We knew nothing of that in my day. We didn't know anything of that. You see, Jesus told us that if we'd follow him, he said, if any man would follow me and be my disciple, let him deny himself. Take up his, what? Cross and follow me. You know what Jesus told us? If you follow me, you will suffer. You will suffer. You will have tribulation. And so, it doesn't surprise me. You see, and I guess I could have retired, gone to the island of Capri, and, you know, kind of lived a good life the rest of my days. But you know what? Jesus never talked about retiring. And if Jesus, my Savior, I saw him on that cross, if he could die on that cross for me, then nothing that he asked me to do is too much of a sacrifice. Folks, I know if I would have toned down my testimony, if I would have watered down the word, then the world would have loved me. No way! I wouldn't do it. So they sent me here to this island. Now, I'd like to say one more thing about your question. What's a nice guy doing in a place like this? You know what, folks? I believe God sent me here. Yes? He separated me from the... He separated me from all the activities and all the noise of the mainland. And he did it because he wanted to show me something that's almost beyond belief. I believe he allowed me to experience this suffering. And I do suffer, folks. Because Many times in suffering, he can reveal himself like no other situations. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you this. I'm not unique. There's others that met Jesus in suffering, haven't there been? Do you remember Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? Or you might know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They wouldn't compromise either. They wouldn't bow down to the world's idols. And they were put where? In a fiery furnace. But who did they meet in the furnace? Jesus. How about Daniel? Daniel, their friend, he wouldn't compromise. He wouldn't stop praying three times a day to the God of heaven. And what happened to him? Lion's den. But you know what, folks? Who was in the lion's den? Jesus stopped the mouth of the lions. And we could go on and name many of the servants of God who would not compromise. The Apostle Paul. My, oh my, the trials that man went through. But you know what? The more trials he went through, the more he knew Jesus. So I'm not unique. Maybe some of you are going through some trials. Maybe some of you are going through a painful time. Keep your eyes open. Because it's in those times. And maybe some of you are going through just a drab time. Just a time where it's boring. You don't think it's boring on this island, let me tell you. It sometimes is just, it's just monotonous. Keep your eyes open. It may be just at that time that God's going to break through. Jesus is going to come. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. When is it? You know what? It's the Lord's Day. It's the Lord's Day. It's my favorite day of the week. I think you call it Sunday. You know, my favorite day used to be the Sabbath. That's when I used to love going to the synagogue and love. But you know what? After that first day that Jesus came on the first day of the week and appeared to us, from that day on, the Lord's Day has been my favorite day. Because he took my sadness and turned it into great joy. And I look forward, folks, to the Lord's Day. Do you look forward to the Lord's Day? I hope you do. I hope that's your favorite day of the week. Because that's the day we celebrate what? What? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's alive. Oh, it was on the Lord's Day. And I got up on the Lord's Day and I started praising the Lord. And I was in the Spirit. Amen. In the Spirit, folks. I'm going to tell you what. I was filled with God's Spirit. I was totally yielded my heart to God's Spirit. And I started to praise God. And I'll tell you what. The Spirit started to do His work. He started to work in my heart. And I remembered what Jesus said. When He comes, when the Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth. And He will reveal to you what? That which shall come. He'll reveal to you the future. And He will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, that Spirit, I was in the Spirit. And He started to work in my life. And I was praising the Lord. I'll tell you what, they could take away my fellowship. They could take away the church. They could take away my scriptures. My scrolls, but they couldn't take away Jesus from me and me from Jesus. And they could take away my scrolls. But folks, they couldn't take away the scripture I had hid in my heart. You know what, folks? It's a good thing to memorize God's word, to hide it in your heart, just in case your Bible's not handy. Oh, I was praising the Lord. Now, what I'm about to tell you, folks, is almost going to seem beyond belief. I almost hesitate to tell you what happened next. Because it was so holy, it was so sacred, that it's almost beyond description. So please be patient with me. Please pardon me if I use some words like as or like, because it's hard to describe what happened next. Do you see what happened? There I was, praising God, and all of a sudden, I heard a voice behind me like a trumpet. Now I want to ask you a question. Here we are right now. What would happen if somebody snuck in the back there and blew a trumpet right now? What would happen? How would you respond? You would be startled. It would get your attention, wouldn't it? It would get your attention. I'm going to tell you what, folks. It got my attention. This voice came from behind. It was like a trumpet. And I'll tell you what, it startled me. And then I wondered, why did it come from behind me? And a scripture came to my mind from Isaiah that said, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Was I pointed in the wrong direction? But the voice came from behind me. It startled me. And what I heard was, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And for those of you that do not know the Greek, Alpha is the first letter of the alphabet, our A. Omega is the last letter, our Z. And what I thought, this is the eternal God. I knew it was the name of God showing his eternity. He is outside of time. He inhabits eternity. And then I heard him say, write to the seven churches that are in Asia. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned, verse 12, and this is what I saw. I saw seven golden candlesticks. Later, I was told what these were. They represented the church, or more specifically, the seven churches that I was to write to. And I thought, beautiful picture of the church. The church is a candlestick. The church is a candelabra. We are the light of the world. And not just in a building. When we go out of this building, when you go out of this building, and you go to your home, and tomorrow, Monday morning, when you go into your office, you're the light of the world. And we're to shine brightly for Christ. Are you shining brightly for Jesus Christ? Seven golden candlesticks I saw. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I saw the Lord. The Lord Jesus in the midst of the church. Not just these seven churches. In the midst of every faithful church that seeks to follow Christ. He's in the midst. Folks, I want to tell you something. He's here today. And I'll tell you what, if Jesus is not in the church, close up shop. Because it's just religion. But I saw him walking in the candlesticks, walking in the churches. Now, folks, I want to remind you, I knew Jesus on earth. Maybe I knew him better than any other person. The night before he died, I leaned on his breast, and I heard the heartbeat of God. He called me the one whom he loved. I knew Jesus. But you know what?
I never saw Jesus
before like I saw him that day. What did I see? I saw one like the Son of Man. Folks, I remembered that Jesus, when he was on earth, the most favorite title he called himself was the Son of Man, because he was the God-man. I realized that Son of Man was a messianic title, because I remembered Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 13, that called him the Son of Man. The Messiah would be the Son of Man. He would have a body. And that one in the golden candlesticks had a body. A resurrection body. A glorified body. And he was clothed with a garment that reached down to his feet. And around his chest, he had a golden sash. And I realized that these were priestly garments. And that Jesus is our high priest in heaven. That Jesus is the one who ever lives to pray for us, to make intercession for us, to be our advocate with the Father. He is our divine defense attorney that has never lost a case.
Amen.
And there he was. There he was. And I looked and I saw his head and his hair. They were white as wool. White as snow. You that live in northeastern Ohio, you know about that snow stuff. We didn't have that on the island of Patmos, but I'll tell you what, you do here. And then I realized as I looked that he is the thrice holy God, possessor of all wisdom. I remembered the description in the book of Daniel of the Ancient of Days. That his head and his hair were as white as wool, like snow. And I realized that Jesus is Jehovah God, the Ancient of Days. And then I saw his eyes. Folks, I will never forget his eyes, because his eyes were as a flame of fire. Oh, those eyes. They could burn right through you. Oh, those X-ray eyes that could look right into your heart. Oh, those eyes of fire that could penetrate the armor of the hardest heart. Oh, those eyes. There was nothing that I could hide. And I peered into those eyes and I couldn't stand it. And I had to drop my head. And there I beheld his feet. His feet were like brass in a fire, in a furnace. It were glowing feet. And I remembered that in the Old Testament, brass or bronze was the metal of judgment. That the brazen altar was where the judgment of God would fall. And it came to my mind that one day those feet, those brazen, burning feet, would stamp out all that is untrue, all that is unrighteous. One day he will trample down. And when he comes, he will judge. And he will rule with a rod of iron. Oh, those feet, those burnished feet. Glowing feet. And I heard his voice. His voice was like many waters. I talked to your pastor before I came in here today. What is it, Pastor Les? And he told me that he went up to a Niagara Falls. And he took a tour down under the falls. And he said when he was down under there, the water, you could see the water coming down, and the noise was deafening. Well, I'll tell you what, his voice was deafening. I couldn't hear anything but what he said. And in his hand, he held seven stars. And later on, he told me what those seven stars were. They were the angels of the church, the churches. And you know what I thought? Maybe you thought this too. I wondered, does every church have its own guardian angel? Or was he talking about the messengers that God sent to the churches, the pastors? I don't know. But he said they were the angels, the messengers of the seven churches. And out of his mouth, folks, came a what? A sharp, two-edged sword. And you know what? I knew in a moment. What is that? It's the Word of God. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I thought, oh, you know what? What symbols we have here. Can I tell you a secret about my book? The book of the Revelation? Can I tell you, see, you know what? You're going to find, as you read my book, a lot of symbols. Let me tell you the secret. Either I tell you or God reveals to us in my book what those symbols mean, or they are found somewhere else and interpreted in the Bible itself. So, some people that I've heard and talked to in your day tell me, boy, that book of Revelation that John wrote down, that's hard to understand. Do you know why it's hard for them to understand? They don't know their Bibles. And the more you read and study this book, the better you'll understand my book, the Revelation. Well, I looked again and there was his countenance. His face shone like the sun in its strength. He is the Son of Righteousness, risen with healing in his wings. And then he said this, I am the living one. I was dead, and now I'm alive for evermore. And I'll tell you what, folks, if I didn't know, and sometimes, well, how I knew Jesus on earth, I might have doubted who this was. But when I heard those words, I knew this was Jesus because no one else fits that description. Amen? Amen. No one else fits that description. He's the only one that was the living one who died and rose again, never to die again. Amen. Never to die again. That's our Jesus. And in one of your translations, King James Version, it says, Amen! I think. It's around there someplace. And you know what? That's one of the names of Jesus. He's the Amen of God. So when your pastor preaches, it's okay to say Amen. Amen. Thank you. I mean, when your pastor preaches. Amen. Well, folks, I know I didn't do a very good job expressing it because it's really hard to express what I saw and experienced. But let me tell you the effect that this has had on my life and how I responded to this. Do you know what? If you saw Jesus the way I saw Jesus, you would have done the same thing. You know what you'd have done? You'd have fallen down like a dead person. Amen. You know, again, I knew Jesus. He was my friend on earth. We were, I hate to say it, buddies. And we were friends, and I leaned on his breast, and he loved me, and I loved him. But you know what? When I saw Jesus like this, I didn't go up and say, Hi, Jesus. Nice to see you again. I didn't slap him on the back and say, Hi, bud. Tell you what, I fell at his feet as a dead person. I couldn't say anything. And if you saw Jesus the way I saw Jesus, you would have a reverence for him. And you know, I visited some churches in your century, in this country. I visited around. And you know what I found lacking? a reverence for God. But if you saw Jesus the way I saw Jesus, oh, you would reverence him. You would know he is high and holy and all glorious, transcendent. And you know what else? If you saw Jesus the way I saw Jesus, your worship would never be the same. You would come to gather together, and you would worship God. You would put your whole heart into worshiping him. You would worship him in spirit and in truth. There would be no, when's this going to be over? It's going into overtime. You wouldn't do that. If you saw Jesus the way I saw Jesus, no telling what would happen in the worship service. And you know, I fell down right at his feet, and he put his hand on me, his right hand. He put his hand on me, and he said, "Fear not. I love you. I love you." He said, "John, I want you to do something for me. I want you to write these things down and send them to the seven churches." And you know what, folks? I did. I obeyed what he told me to do. And you know what? If you saw Jesus the way I saw Jesus, and you saw Jesus the way I saw Jesus, I'll tell you what, we would obey Christ no matter what. Amen. We would seek and strive to live a holy life that is worthy of our great Savior. Amen. If you saw Jesus the way I saw Jesus, when sin came knocking at the door, I'll tell you what, you'd send Jesus to answer it. Yeah. And you would hate sin and love righteousness. If you saw Jesus the way I saw Jesus. And folks, if you saw Jesus the way I saw Jesus, you would prepare to meet your God. Because I'm going to tell you, folks, I saw him. And every one of us in this, right here, and really everyone on planet Earth, will one day stand before the Christ that I saw. And oh, those eyes. If you're here this morning and you have accepted Jesus and trusted him in his finished work, and you're one of his, you'll stand before him one day. You'll stand before him at what is called the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema. And those eyes will peer on you and look at what you have done and all the chaff and all the things done with wrong motives, and all the frivolous things will be burned away. And there'll be no excuses. Those eyes. And if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ, you too will see him one day. You will be at the great white throne judgment. We're going to talk about that in my book over in chapter 20. And you will stand before him and give an account of your life. There'll be no plea bargains. There'll be no excuses. There will be no getting out. Those eyes will burn through all of the excuses. And it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But if you saw him the way I saw him, I'll tell you what you would do. You would come to this altar this morning and you'd get right with the Lord. you would do that. And if you saw Jesus the way I saw Jesus, this altar would be filled this morning. It'd be filled. And you know what? I have a sneaking suspicion that what the church in your day needs is a fresh vision of the real Jesus. Not a Jesus we have in our mind, not a Jesus we see in pictures, but the resurrected, glorified, exalted Christ. And if you saw Jesus the way I saw Jesus, oh friend, your life would never be the same. Would you bow your heads with me?